The threat remains.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Almost a year since the financial crisis hit, the banking system seems to have stabilized. But stable does not mean healthy. And despite taxpayers bailing out the big banks, thousands of small and medium-sized banks are still threatened by bad loans. That's the conclusion of a new report out this morning from a congressional watchdog agency. On the line with us is the head of that panel, Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren. Good morning.
Good morning.
We've been seeing so many signs of the recession maybe coming toward a close, prices coming back up. Why are small and mid-sized banks still in danger?
Well, the problem with small and mid-sized banks is that they tend to hold whole mortgages, meaning they've got the whole thing rather than just a fractionalized share of it in a security. But the program designed to help get those bad assets off the bank books don't apply to small mortgages. Worse, small mortgages hold a lot of commercial real estate loans, which pose a real threat of high defaults in the near future. So since small banks have more trouble raising capital, we raise a particular alarm about the position they may be in.
So we might well still worry about commercial real estate and unemployment might still go up. But what about these banks? If many of them did collapse, how widely would that pain spread?
Well, it spreads two ways. One, of course, is that we have to pick up on deposit insurance and make sure that the depositors are safe, and that puts more strain on the system. But it's also that the banks themselves are a sign of what else is wrong. Remember, the problem that started this whole crisis is that all of these mortgages that were out there that people couldn't pay. And so long as those mortgages are still carried as assets on the bank's books, and so long as foreclosures continue to rise, we have a serious economic problem.
One of your panel members, Republican Congressman Jeb Hensarling of Texas, has dissented from this report. He says you seem to be advocating another taxpayer bailout. How true is that?
Well, I'm not sure what report Congressman Hensarling was reading, because the report makes very clear deep skepticism about the approach that Treasury is using to try to deal with the troubled assets. Now, having said that, it also says we have to be realistic. So long as those bad assets stay on the bank's books, they put us all at threat.
Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren heads the Congressional Oversight Panel looking over the Bank Rescue Program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's do this morning's numbers. Major European markets are mixed now, and Asian stocks were solidly higher earlier today. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 32 points, 0.3%, and closed at 9,337. We're still waiting to hear what kind of deal will be struck between U.S. officials and that Swiss bank, UBS. The United States is not the only country going after tax havens. As Christopher Worth reports, the Brits are signing a deal today to flush out some other wealthy tax evaders.
You're not alone if you have a tough time finding Liechtenstein on the map. It's just a tiny alpine country squeezed between Switzerland and Austria, but it holds billions in secret accounts. The British government estimates wealthy Britons have nearly $5 billion stashed away there. And as budget deficits rise to extraordinary levels, tax officials want their piece of the pie. They're offering tax dodgers the chance to volunteer their details and pay a penalty or risk further action. So would many wealthy investors take the government up on its offer? Cedric Thiel is with the Graduate Institute in Geneva.
Well, if the alternative is to face criminal prosecution, yes. I mean, basically, governments need money, and much more than they used to. So if you come and turn yourself in, basically, you pay a hefty fine. But that's the end of it.
Thiel questions just how much British officials are likely to reap. Most Liechtenstein account holders are from Germany, which has also been cracking down on the tax haven. Liechtenstein agreed to share tax information with the U.S. late last year. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
A new workplace study being presented today suggests that women have, quote, imposed their own glass ceiling. In the University of New Mexico study, women underestimated their bosses' ratings of their job performance by an average 11%, while the men slightly overestimated how their bosses would rate them. The findings will be presented today in Chicago at the annual meeting of the Academy of Management.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia.
Oil prices are rising again, almost $71 a barrel this morning, and that's driving up gas prices at the pump, 16 cents a gallon in just the past 2 weeks. Now, this seems to fly right in the face of Econ 101. We are in a recession. Demand is weak. Prices should be falling, right? Reporter Jill Barshay explains.
You need to peer into the future to understand why oil prices have doubled over the last 6 months. David Kirsch is the director of market intelligence at PFC Energy. He says energy traders are betting that economic activity will pick up.
And as that picks up, the demand for crude oil, for gasoline, for diesel will pick up too.
China's already stepping on the gas and driving up energy costs. That's pinching pocketbooks in America and sparking worries that high oil prices could stifle our recovery. But Kirsch says oil is the least of our worries.
I think overall consumers are looking at the loss of value in their house and their total wealth and the very insecure job market that's leading to much lower levels of consumer spending, and that's the primary cause of concern for the U.S. economy.
He points out that at $70 a barrel, oil is just half of what it was at its peak last year. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
And finally, the FBI has an interesting approach to the problem of bank robberies. Don't let the bank's customers wear hoods. In Ohio, the FBI and local police are asking patrons not to walk in the bank wearing hooded sweatshirts, sunglasses, and hats. The FBI is even asking banks to post signs. No eyes, no face, no service. Or, you know, words to that effect. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.